Welcome to the Enlightening Motherhood Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Hamblin.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley Schultz.
As moms who are currently in the thick of raising kids with big emotions, we know firsthand how challenging their intense behaviors can be.
And that a little support can go a long way.
This is a non-judgmental community that was created for you or any mom who's feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, or stressed.
Each week, either Emily or I will share our experiences, offer practical tips, and interview experts in the field so you can be empowered to help your children with their challenges.
Join us as we help you enlighten motherhood. Hello, everyone. This is Emily. Welcome to another episode. This is episode 99. We are about to hit 100 episodes, and I could not be more excited. And I'm super excited also to delve into today's topic because it's one that is very near and dear to my heart, how to teach our kids anger management. Okay, I don't know about you, but for me, children with extreme anger is definitely something that shakes the whole house over here. It might look like a child screaming. They might hit, they might bite, they might spit, they might hurl insults, you know, depending on their ages and their abilities. They might say hurtful things. They might throw things, slam doors, punch holes in walls, pick up toys and take chunks out of walls or doors. Or anyways, I'm getting a little too personal there. It can be really intense sometimes. It's probably obvious why we want to teach them anger management, because we want to survive our days a little bit better, right? And it's really hard when there's an angry child just with all of these intense behaviors in your household. It affects everyone. We also think of the long view of their life. And I see a lot of adults that cannot handle anger. They are out of control when they're angry. And if I'm going to be a little bit too vulnerable, I've been there as a parent more times than I care to admit, where my own anger gets way out of control. And I just think of my children, and I really want them to have more skills by the time they're an adult to handle that anger than what I had. I want for them to be able to be more empowered with more of these tools and strategies. And so there's so many reasons why I could keep going and going. I'm sure that you agree, though. I probably had you just when I said, do you want to teach your kid anger management? Yes, please. It's just so unpleasant to handle, right? But when we think of that long view, we especially want to put some emphasis on this. Okay, so to teach your child anger management, the top thing that you can do is to model it yourself. If you've listened to me long, that probably didn't surprise you. Now there's two branches of thoughts on this. One, of course, I want you to learn to manage your own emotions. That's like 70 to 80% of what we're doing inside of emotionally healthy families. So many parents come to me wanting help with their children's intense emotions. And then they step back and they realize, you know, I really need help with mine. We don't need to have guilt about it. We don't need to have that shame. We don't need to self-hate. None of that's going to be helpful. We can have a lot of self-compassion and we can work on it too. So this isn't a podcast episode on regulating your own emotions, even if your kid is dysregulated, but that is something that I just need to plug in there. The more you can model it yourself, having a healthy relationship with your emotions, knowing what to do when they come, and ways to handle it without taking it out on others or on yourself in a negative way, that is so powerful for your child. That is incredibly, and research backs it up too. There's studies that would totally be in line with that. It's so powerful. But there's another train of thought too on modeling it. And that is, like, not only are you learning to manage your own anger and emotions in general, but you also, I think it's great for you to invite your children to be a part of your journey. Let them know that you're working on learning anger management. Let them know what you're doing. Let them know why. Right? Share share this with them. Invite them to be a part of it. Not like, you don't have to go super deep into like your triggers and childhood trauma if you don't want to. Like, there's things that I don't really think my children need to know, but I do let them know, hey, I'm still working on learning to handle my anger. And you know that me, I've cut my yelling down by more than 90%, and it's still a journey for me. And it's something that I work on. I think that's one reason that so many of my clients see such fast progress is because I'm right there with them. I'm not like 20 years down the road looking back thinking, okay, you know, maybe it wasn't that hard. I'm like in the thick of it with you. So I get it. I know it's hard. And I also invite you to invite your children to know what you're doing, what you're learning. I like to tell my children, hey, do you know what anger feels like in my body? And I tell them what it feels like to me when I'm feeling angry, that interoceptive sense or the internal sensations in my body, exactly how it feels. And at different times, my anger actually does feel different. I let them know different ways that I handle it. I just tell them about my own journey and as I learn new things. It's funny, a few months ago, I learned a new technique. For me, it's probably my ADHD. I really like novelty. So I like to always learn these new techniques because sometimes the old ones just wear off and a new one comes in and it really helps me out. It's a grounding technique. So when I'm like about to lose it and I'm aware of what's going on in my body, I'm aware of the thoughts and I can tell like, oh, I'm about to have a full-on mommy meltdown. One thing that I do is to touch a textured or a cool surface like a window pane or a wall. And I try to think about the temperature or the texture. And I shared this with my children. And one day I was getting really fiery and I reached out and I touched a wall, and the walls in our home are textured. And I told them, I said, I'm touching this wall to try to ground myself. So I'm thinking about the wall and stepping back from my anger. I just went through all of it with them. And probably a week or so later, I did snap and I yelled at my children and my five-year-old. Afterwards, I was repairing and apologizing and processing that with them. My five-year-old said, Mom, you should have touched a wall. And then like a few days after that, I was starting to get heated again. And my five-year-old could tell. And he said, Mom, quick, touch a wall. So it was awesome. Like, that helped me in the moment to handle my cool. But how powerful is that for our children to see that mom is working on this? And yes, it might be a challenge for her, but she's not giving up. And look at all the work that she's putting into it. What a great example for them. What a wonderful example for our children to not think my mom's perfect. She's got it all figured out. And then they end up being parents and they're like, holy moly, this is bringing my emotions to a whole new level. What do I do? But instead to empower them with this idea of, oh, wow, my mom is working on handling her emotions. Later on, when they become parents, whoa, these emotions are on a whole new level for me. And I remember my mom used to work on hers. Do you see that difference there? It's really powerful to include our children on our own emotional journey. Okay, so that's one of the biggest things you can do is model it for them, not only in learning to regulate your own emotions, but inviting them with whatever you feel is child appropriate to share with them about your journey of anger management. Okay. Step number two that is very helpful for your children. This is kind of tied into step number one. It would be so helpful if you would stop matching your child's anger. In other words, let's stop getting mad at them for being mad. Let's stop being angry because they are angry. And instead, let's figure out a way to handle our own emotions so that when they are angry, we're able to show up more logically. We're able to show up calm, confident, compassionate, curious, whatever the emotion is, put in the work so you can show up differently. And then instead of trying to like stop them from being angry or avoid moments where they're angry or fix their anger or punish them for their anger, we can focus on empowering them with healthy ways to manage that anger when it comes. Can you see the huge difference in perspective shift there? So powerful. So, so helpful. I was talking to one of my business coaches just this morning on a coaching call with her about an incredible resource bundle that I'm going to talk about that I'm going to sell for like a ridiculously low price. And she was saying, tell people that they'll see instant results or something like that. And then my husband, who was with my children in the other room, he was with them, they were safe. But then one of my children screamed like on cue. And I told her, this is probably me oversharing with you, but it was just too funny. And I told her, well, I want to make sure I'm realistic with what I'm promising here. So that was funny. I was telling my husband about this right after the call. And he turned to me and he was serious. And he said, oh, Emily, I am pretty sure that they will see instant results. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, it has made a difference in our family within a day whenever you started to implement the tools that you're offering in that bundle. And I was like, whoa, that was powerful. So anyways, my children are still angry, right? But we are working on empowering them with tools to handle that anger when it comes. Okay. Anyways, we'll probably talk about that more later. Is this me? Someone let me know. Send me a message or something and tell me if this was oversharing or if it's helpful, because sometimes I'm not sure what that line is there. Anyways, let's move on. Okay. So we're feeling okay with their anger. Like we've managed our own emotions in general and then surrounding them being angry, right? Step number three with our children. Do you want to know the very worst time to teach your child anger management? The absolute worst time is when your child is angry. I know it seems counterintuitive because we want to like fix that problem when the problem's there. And this was something that was mind changing with me with my background as a teacher. Whenever the behavior's there, you want to address it immediately. Like there was a lot of behaviorist tactics that I learned as a teacher. And you think of like dog training. I know kids aren't dogs, but like in dog training, you want to address the behavior when the behavior's there. So I get it. It seems intuitive that when our child's angry is when we want to swoop in and address the anger. Here's the thing though. When your child is angry, they are being driven by their survival brain, their downstairs brain, their amygdala, right? When your child is being driven by that amygdala, by that survival brain, their upstairs brain or their prefrontal cortex, their logical brain, has been shut off. The brain is conserving energy. It perceives a threat. It is pumping energy into that survival brain. They are not able to access logical thinking. So when you come in, when they're angry with logical thinking is turned off. They're being driven more by instinct and subconscious practices and thoughts and abilities by then. It's just not helpful, right? I mean, think about a time when you were really angry and someone said, whoa, 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 just calm down now. Did it really help? What's going to help your child much more than when you wait for them to be angry and then start to work with them on anger is to practice it outside of their anger. Practice it at times when they aren't angry and do so in a way that's not going to shame your child. That's not going to layer embarrassment or extra stress or extra, you know, lowering their self-esteem and their self-confidence. You can totally do it in ways that are fun, in ways that are enjoyable, and in ways that you actually end up connecting and bonding with your child as a result of working with them on their anger management. Isn't that incredible? And of course, when you build that connection with your child, that helps them with anger management too, because of all sorts of psychology that maybe I need to study more, but it totally helps. Plus it just feels better, doesn't it? We also know from an educational standpoint that when children have a lower stress level, that they tend to have higher levels of learning and remembering and being able to later implement. Especially if you can make it fun, if you can add a play aspect into there, something really enjoyable, get those fun, probably, what is it? I need to research all the neurotransmitters, probably like endorphins and other fun chemicals released in the body. Sorry, I need to do a podcast episode on the power of play, and then I can give you all of the scientific facts. But in any case, I do know for sure that research shows that when a child learns something in play or in fun, that their learning and their memory of it just soars through the roof. You can also, particularly with older children, if you're able to make them the teacher and you become the student and they end up teaching it to you, that helps them a lot too. And so when you're doing this, you don't necessarily, let's say Johnny melted down because he really wanted to play video games today, and you let him know that he's not going to play video games today, and he's screaming and throwing things, and he goes to his room and slams the door, and it causes a picture frame to fall, and then the thing falls and the breaks and glass gets everywhere. Obviously, you need to work with Johnny on anger management, and I highly recommend it. But let me tell you a really ineffective way to handle that situation with Johnny. Hey, Johnny, do you remember that time when you got angry and you freaked out at us and then you broke that picture frame? That was awful. Let's talk about ways that you're going to not do that again. Would you like it if someone talked to you like that? Johnny is probably going to shut you out the moment you start on that. Instead, just talk about anger management in general. Tell them stories. Play games. Tell them about times when you were angry as a child. Offer them worksheets, crafts, maybe journaling options. Discuss with them. Ask questions and just make it a casual conversation in the car. It doesn't have to be personal to help them out. It's okay to talk about past times when their anger got out of control, but let's do it in a way that's not layering that shame and embarrassment on them. Because, I mean, of course it doesn't feel good, but even more, they're going to turn off listening to you. They're not going to learn what you're saying. If you want them to learn, you've got to come at it from a more compassionate angle that helps them to feel your love and connection through the whole process. Okay, so that's tip number three. Practice it out of the moment. Make it fun. And do it in a way that's enjoyable for both you and your child. Number four, instead of telling your kids how they should handle their anger, right? Okay, so the next time you're feeling angry, I want you to take this pillow and hit the pillow. When you're feeling angry, it's going to feel like this to you in your body. This is what anger will feel like to you. Instead, invite them to be the captain of their ship. Instead of trying to steer their ship for them, try to co-pilot it. Try to teach them how to steer it. So what? This is what anger feels like in my body. This is what anger might feel like to another child. What does anger feel like to you? For me, when I'm feeling angry and I'm about to like start yelling at you kids, which I don't like to do, sometimes it happens. When I feel it in my body, I feel little bubbles that move up my forearms right here. I would show them and draw my hand on my forearm. They move up my forearm right here and they move up my shins. And they're like really, really hot bubbles, like a boiling pot. And when those bubbles hit the center of my heart, of my chest, that's when I tend to snap at you. That's when I tend to just lose and start yelling or screaming or saying things that I didn't really mean. And I'm working on handling that. So when I feel those bubbles moving up my arms and legs, I have tools and strategies that I use before they hit my chest so that I'm not exploding at you. I have warning signs that my body is giving me that it's coming. What does anger feel like to you? What are some of your warning signs that your anger is coming? See how powerful that is? Also help them identify their triggers. When do they tend to feel angry? You don't have to tell them, this makes you angry. You can invite them to explore it with you. Now, of course, they might be like, I don't know what makes me angry. And so, you know, I recommend you have maybe a list of possible triggers. You can come up with options. Like, it's definitely good for you to have examples for them and to have some sort of scaffolding or some sort of guide for this discussion. But instead of being, you know, telling them the way they should feel or what they should do, invite them to explore it for themselves. This is really, really empowering your child. And then give them some ideas and some tools and some suggestions of strategies for what they can do when that anger comes up. I have so many different tools, coping skills, healthy coping strategies, calm down ideas. There's a lot of them. And allowing the child to tailor their own list and their own ideas is really, really, really powerful. And then, of course, practice them. I like to practice them through games, through fun. Practice utilizing those strategies. Practice reminding your child of what their anger feels like. Oh no, I'm about to melt down. What can I do? Practice, practice, practice. Discuss it with them. Make it natural and fun and just part of your family culture. And of course, model it for them yourself. Okay, step number 5 is very important. Focus on their progress over perfection. I've been doing this with my children for a while now. It has made an incredible difference in our family to consciously and intentionally help them understand their anger and gain more skills to handle that anger. And at the same time, my children do still have meltdowns. They do still have anger. They do still scream and slam doors and all of the above, right? Because they're still children. They're not going to get it perfect just because we had a conversation. And I've seen this a lot. I've seen clients say, okay, we made this calm down plan with my daughter, and then she got angry and she didn't follow the plan. And it's so frustrating because we practiced this. Yes, I understand. It is frustrating and I get it. And we did practice it. And then we start to feel ignored and we start to feel like they don't care about us. And we start to feel disrespected because they didn't even follow the plan that we spent all of that time coming up with them on. I get it. I get how frustrating that is. And I get that it's going to help you and your children so much more if you expect that they're not going to get it perfect. We are talking about making progress here, not about being perfect. Their prefrontal cortex, their ability to think logically, their ability to handle those emotions, risk management, all of the above, is in their prefrontal cortex, their upstairs brain, which again, when they're experiencing heavy emotions, their downstairs brain is very activated. The upstairs brain is going offline. Maybe it's not offline completely yet, hopefully. Sometimes it will be. Either way, that prefrontal cortex is underdeveloped in a child. Their amygdala, that survival brain, completely developed at birth. That prefrontal cortex, all of the areas with all of these skills, everything, is not fully developed until they're in their mid-20s. So, of course, they're not going to get it perfect the first time or every time. There'll be many times that they're still going to get swept up in that moment and not do what they had previously planned or intended to do. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because you don't see immediate perfection does not mean that you cannot see immediate progress. Okay. Like if we're talking about teaching a child reading, maybe you have a child that has been struggling to read. They can't understand reading. They didn't even know their alphabet. And then one day you notice they're naming the letters of the alphabet. Are you going to get angry if they can't name all 26 letters at once in every situation? Hopefully not. Hopefully you understand. Or maybe they've learned the entire alphabet now and they know all of the letters. Now they're kind of struggling with understanding the sounds that the letters make because there is a little bit of disconnect from the letter name to the letter sound. Do we need to get angry? Come on. You know, I've told you all of these alphabet sounds. Why can't you remember them? Or can we understand that they're making progress? Similarly, this goes into tip number 6. I want you to look for, be on the hunt for, and celebrate like crazy the small wins. Just because your child is not reading in paragraphs does not mean that you should not celebrate. Okay, it doesn't mean that you should not celebrate the fact that they have now gone from just knowing their alphabet and the sounds to reading short words. Yes, maybe they can't read paragraphs yet. Maybe they can't even read a sentence yet, but they're reading short words. And that is so incredible and worth celebrating. Okay, let's pull this back to the emotions analogy. And I made a double negative one, like don't not celebrate. So let's make it a positive now. Please celebrate the little wins. Maybe you have a child, and this was one of my kids. This was something I celebrated like crazy. I had one of my kids that turned to a sibling one day and screamed, like red faced, like the jugular in their neck bulging. And it was so loud and it was so piercing and it was so angry and kind of terrifying for the other kid. And do you know what? I actually later, I celebrated that with that child, because up until this point in that child's life, that child had only been able to hit, kick, punch, bite, very physical aggression, violence. That was how they used to handle their anger. They had graduated from that. And they were now, not that like we want to teach our children to scream when they're angry, but he was making progress. This child was making progress. Screaming instead of hitting, to me, was worth celebrating. And then, of course, continuing, I celebrated. Oh my goodness. You were so angry and you did not hit your sibling. I am so proud of you. You didn't hurt them. I know you don't like hurting your siblings. And I know you were so, so frustrated at that situation. And instead of hitting them, you chose a different way to handle that anger. I am so proud of you for making that kind of progress. Then later, so what can we do now instead of screaming? And so we're going to progress from there still. Does this make sense? Okay. I hope it does. I hope it does. You're going to start, if especially you've got to look for them. Your brain's not going to naturally pick them up if you're not consciously looking for them. But if you're looking, you'll start noticing the small wins. You'll start seeing how they're adding up over time. And you'll see that your efforts are totally worth it and making an incredible difference with your child. Which brings us to tip number 7. Beware of catastrophizing. Catastrophizing is when we start noticing language like, my child is always hurting their siblings. My kid constantly insults me. Oh, I was guilty of that this last week. I totally catastrophized with one of my children and their behaviors. Okay, wake up call to myself. I'm going to repair today, and I'm going to work on replacing it with more helpful thoughts. When we start to think in these extremes, always, never, constantly, all the time, we are catastrophizing, right? We're going to extremes in our languages and our thoughts. We have this all or nothing thinking that doesn't tend to help us, because it makes it so much harder for us to notice. My child is always picking on their siblings, versus my child sometimes picks on their siblings, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they get along quite well with their siblings, and sometimes they do pick on them. Now I'm opening that door to make incredible progress. I'm opening up that door to make some really amazing progress, because instead of thinking that this is just the way it is, they're always going to pick on their siblings, they're always going to be hitting, they're always going to be punching holes in walls, I've opened it to sometimes they do punch a hole in their wall. That's happened sometimes. It might even be more often than I like, but it doesn't always happen. And now I can see that there's a possibility for it to happen less and less. Even if it does still happen, we're going to make progress. Hope this is landing for you. It's been so incredibly helpful in my parenting, in helping my children with their anger management. And I really hope it's helpful for you too. Okay, so let me run through these again. Number 1, model anger management, both in managing your emotions and inviting your children to be a part of your journey. Number 2, let's stop being mad because they're mad. Let's stop being angry because they're angry. And instead focus on empowering them with healthy ways to handle that anger when it comes. Number 3, practice it out of the moment. Make it fun. Include a lot of enjoyable ways to practice with them. Number 4, instead of telling them what their anger is, how they should handle it, etc., invite them to explore it with you. But come with ideas that they can choose from. And come with like outlines and ideas that they can choose from for that. Okay, number 5, Focus on the progress over the perfection. Number 6, look for and celebrate those small wins. Number 7, beware of catastrophizing. Okay, that is a lot. Chances are you're not going to instantly be perfect overnight, but you can see a lot of instant progress. Okay. And if you would like the done for you resources full of videos, worksheets, games, I think there's story craft. If you would like the done for you resources, we also have worksheets on helping your child identify what the anger feels like in their body, lists of potential triggers, worksheets to identify the triggers that are particular to them, calm down options, healthy coping skills, printable posters, etc. Worksheets to help them plan it out. And your child doesn't, maybe if they don't like worksheets, I'll be honest, many of my kids don't like the worksheets, but I use the worksheets as a guide for me for the discussions with them. And then we come up with our own lists based on the ideas from the worksheets. So I'm just going to be honest there. Your child doesn't like worksheets. It's still incredibly helpful because it gives you that list of ideas and it gives you the base and the outline. If you would like the done for you resources, I'm like crazy. I'm selling them for just $9. Or if you're in Emotionally Intelligent Kids, the $7 mini membership that I'm offering, you're going to get them for free. Merry Christmas. Anyone else, if you don't want to join, you can grab the anger management resources for just $9. You can get them at emotionallyhealthyfamilies.com/kidsanger. Okay, so that's one word, kids anger. And I'd love to offer them to you. I'm so excited to put them out in the world. I'm excited to hear, what kind of progress are you making with your child? Why does this matter to you? And what do you plan to do now? Small action is so much more than big action. So I would love to encourage you to not just have this be an in one ear and out the other podcast episode, but a podcast episode that really is going to help you out and it's going to help your children out. If you want to send me a DM or a message, I'd love to hear how it helps you out and what you plan to do now. Okay, thank you so much for joining me today. Have a beautiful week. As a parent, I know how challenging it can be when our kids struggle with anger. That's why I'm so excited to have created something for families like ours. It's practical, it's helpful, and it's only $9. Super thrilled to offer you the Anger Management for Kids Resource Bundle. The collection of resources and activities, think videos, games, social stories, worksheets, and more that I put together to help our children navigate their emotions, particularly their anger. I'm all about fostering emotional intelligence and helping our children learn healthy ways to manage their anger in ways that are fun and enjoyable and increase our connection with our child. So for just $9, less than the cost of a family meal out, you can empower your child and bring a whole new level of understanding and calm to your family life. Join me and many other families in this journey. You can purchase it for just $9 at emotionallyhealthyfamilies.com/kidsanger. Or if you're already a member of Emotionally Intelligent Kids, you can get this for free. I'm so happy that you're walking this path of nurturing emotionally healthy families with me.